It's Berlin briefing time. Germany's governing parties just faced a moment of truth on what their voters think of them, raising the question whether the far-right alternative for Germany is now becoming the new Workers' Party. And the governing Conservatives and the Social Democrats are gearing up to tell voters what reform efforts they want from them. We take a look at the good, the bad and the ugly. The good news for Friedrich Merz in regional elections, why the bad news for a Social Democrat coalition partner, the SPD, who lost, could also mean bad news for Merz's sweeping reform agenda, and the ugly truth in terms of the economic challenges Germany is facing. To separate the political drama from the economic facts, I have some great analysts with me here today. Down the line is Marcel Fratscher, the director of the German Institute for Economic Research. Here in the studio with me is Max Hofmann, our Berlin Bureau chief who covers the Social Democrats for us, and Matt Moore, our correspondent who covers all things far-right alternative for Germany party. And I want to start with a quick thought, a soundbite from Lars Klingbeil, the co-leader of the Social Democrats, who spoke about his ideas for reforms and came to this conclusion about Germany.
We have become far too entrenched in many areas. Germany is a country stuck in a rut. Every proposal that aims to change the status quo is met with an outcry and lobbied away. I will probably experience this myself with the proposals in this speech.
So before we turn to Max, who was in the room, I want to ask you, Marcel Fratscher, how much does this tail in with your assessment of where Germany stands right now?
Germany's main problem today is its mental depression, as former German president Roman Herzog called it 30 years ago. And I think it fits today much better than even 30 years ago when Germany was a sick man of Europe, and many may remember. So Germany has not only an economic problem, a problem of economic transformation with industry, the automotive sector being the best example, being left behind in global competition. But it's increasingly also socially divided with between rural areas and urban areas, between young and old, between East and West. So in many dimensions, and tackling these two challenges, economic difficulties, justified concerns about being left behind, particularly for people who are less flexible, have less education, but at the same time, the worry about social divisions and lack of solidarity. That is really a mix that makes reform for the government very difficult. So we are experiencing a political paralysis where any reform is really difficult because people are dissatisfied and these root causes of that conflict are unresolved.
Max, you were in the room. This economic analysis has been on the table for a while. The paralysis has been described many times. Now, almost a year into being vice chancellor, why do you think that the Social Democrats are coming to this conclusion right now?
I wouldn't go as far to say that the Social Democrats per se are coming to this conclusion because, you know, you mentioned it.
Important distinction, yes.
Lars Klingbeil is a co-chair. And if you had asked the other chair, Bärbel Bas, who's more left-leaning, if she had kind of the same opinion as Lars Klingbeil, I'm not sure you would get the same answer. And, you know, there are divisions within the party where to head now. Some of them will say, after having lost these two, because I think you can put it that way, after having lost those two state elections, we need to sharpen our profile and go left. And then you have those like Lars Klingbeil, who we just heard, who say, we need to make it clear that we can actually govern and we need to be clear center. Lars Klingbeil is the guy from the center right here. And had I closed my eyes yesterday at that speech, and not knowing this was Lars Klingbeil, or not knowing which party this was, I assure you, Michaela, sometimes I would have thought, this sounds very liberal, you know, this sounds very center. This is not the SPD. Some of the stuff he said, so very different from what he might have said 2 or 3 years ago. I don't know if we're going to get into that later, but, you know, this man only, I think, up until last year or the year before, was in favor or didn't exclude the four-day working week for certain professions, not all professions, to be fair, right? And now he says all Germans need to work more. That was really new. So he's aligning with the CDU, so the party of the German Chancellor Merz, right there, and that's a change in tone, and it appears like he appears to be a man like, okay, it's clear we have nothing left to lose. You know, we're on the ground, so I'm really gonna go for what I think is right. That's what it sounded like.
In fact, it was fascinating because the demand to work more is something that Friedrich Merz put on the table. It didn't make him particularly popular. Right. And at the same time, we heard Bärbel Baas from the left camp after those elections in Rhineland-Palatinate, where they just lost at the last weekend, saying the Social Democrats are still ready for reforms. In the past, they have reacted by being more against reforms. And this is something they're trying to fight off, an accusation that they're not in tune with the working man. Let's just take a listen to what Friedrich Merz had to say just after those elections, won by his conservative CDU, so badly lost by the Social Democrats. His analysis.
Once again, we see more than 3 million unemployed people in Germany. The 3 million we see today are the 5 million we had 20 years ago when Chancellor Gerhard Schröder launched Agenda 2010.
And Marcel Fratscher, I'm going to throw this to you again. What are the chances of having this kind of Agenda 2010 that was a sweeping reform launched to the surprise of the Social Democrats themselves by their then chancellor? It continues to be an open wound within the party. But what's your expectation now?
My expectation is that fundamental reforms are inevitable. That my fear is that this government, and more importantly, society, German society, is not at that point where they would accept those reforms. The sad truth about democracy, and including German democracy, is that very fundamental reforms are only possible when people are really aware that things are difficult and they need to change. And this government has a credibility problem. If you look at the election campaign about a year ago, all parties, including the Conservative Party, promised tax cuts of 100 billion euros per year to the voters. The same for Social Democrats, saying, we are going to cut taxes and increase social spending. So they make completely unrealistic promises. And people remember. People say, well, you know, what are you doing now? You promised exactly the opposite a year ago. And so the awareness, the consciousness, the understanding in German society is not at that point. Is we are with the back to the wall. We need to change now. We need to. We cannot wait. Unless this expectation is changing, unless people have really understood, we have no alternative. I'm afraid what Lars Klingbeil in the remark you showed is actually very point on. There's always a vested interest. There's always a lobby interest that will try to cement the status quo. And so I'm not very optimistic that we will see these reforms over the next year, but we will ultimately see those reforms because there is no alternative.
Interestingly, Lars Klingbeil, the co-Social Democrat leader, told ARD just after that speech that he believes Germans are ready for sacrifices. Max?
Yeah, there are some polls. So, Mr. Fratscher, I would like to hear your take on that. There are some polls saying that Germans absolutely want reform. I do agree that when it comes down to, okay, I would have to sacrifice something for those reforms, the polls change. But the overall picture is Germans are aware that reforms are badly needed, and that's totally reflected in the data. So what do you make of that?
Well, as you said, it's very easy to say we want reform. But if you really ask, are you willing to see tax increases? That is a necessary part of the reform. You have a very, very strong rejection of that. And not just among conservative voters, but among a majority. If you talk about inheritance taxes, so a lot of the issues that are coming up now, if you talk about pension reform, there is a very strong rejection to cut pension or increase retirement age. So it's not surprising that people have understood we need to reform the country, but no one is willing to make that sacrifice. And until we're at that point where people understand everyone has to contribute, and I don't think we're at that point where people realize, we need tax increases. You mentioned the issue of working more. We need to get more people in the labor market. We need to give up on some of the social security benefits. And we are not at that point yet, I'm afraid. I hope I'm wrong, but I read some of the surveys the same way, where, you know, the bashing of immigrants is another example, right? That's what makes the AfD very popular, among others, that people believe if you just pushed out immigrants, if you just cut benefits to people without a job, then we'd all be better off. And of course, that's an illusion. We will be better off in Germany, and Germany will be more competitive if everyone makes a sacrifice. And my conviction is that we are not at this point yet.
And that actually is an interesting point that you raised, that this seems to be presenting an entry point for the rise of the far right alternative for Germany, also in that Western state, two Western states that went to the polls. In both instances, the AfD doubled their results. And I also just want to insert the information that it is part of the coalition agreement not to raise taxes. So that will be an interesting one to be debated between the Social Democrats and Friedrich Merz's Conservatives. But Matt, let me bring you in there, because why does this create such an entry point for the Alternative for Germany, who has been the clear overall winner, although they are nowhere near getting into government in any of the regions so far, in these elections that we just saw?
There was a lot of talk after the elections in Rhineland-Palatinate this week, the fact that the AfD had won almost 40% of the workers, which actually was the same in the national elections last year. So it just confirmed that there was a big shift from the workers voting for the SPD, the Social Democrats, the centre-left party, to the AfD. But when you look at the numbers as well, the AfD is doing really well among unemployed people. 35% of unemployed people voted for the AfD at the national elections last year. They're doing well among people who are considered to be kind of low-income households, 40%. So there's this big shift. And so the SPD is under pressure. The AfD, on the one hand, is saying we are the Workers' Party, and the kind of reforms that this country needs are not possible because the SPD is so weak at the moment. And so they're benefiting from this impasse in a big way.
Let's just listen, actually, to Alice Weidel, who spoke about this moment of actually a triumph for the AfD to be so strong in a Western state.
And now, of all times, we can no longer expect reforms because the SPD finds itself weakened and in decline. It is no longer the Workers' Party, the party of laborers and employees. That is now the Alternative for Germany.
So that one hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And what's I'm also struck by the fact that when you look at the studies, so studies were done after the national elections last year about why is it that these people are voting for the AfD, and there's a sense that of relative deprivation, i.e. although people are saying to pollsters, my personal situation is good, they still have this sense that other people, my neighbours, are doing better than me, or that people who are not working as hard as me are doing nearly as well as me. And so there's a breakdown in what people would call the moral economy, the sense of fairness in the economy. And it didn't surprise me. I read through some of Lars Klingbeil's speech yesterday that he talked about this.
Yeah, about Max fairness. Is nodding. Yeah. Equality, fairness.
And I think what's interesting, for the AfD, it's really easy to sit on the sidelines and bash the system as it is and say it's unfair. And, you know, yesterday I was at an event where one of the AfD's speakers said, you know, we're the party of the people who get up at 5 a.m., who are making the packed lunches, whether it's in Ohio or Baden-Württemberg, and the people are fed up, and we get that. The SPD, on the other hand, because they've governed for the last 10 years or more, it's hard for them to say the system has failed you and we're going to fix it, to recognise that there's problems. I mean, Klingbeil did say that yesterday. He said, you know, we have to be honest that we, the SPD, have created a system where people no longer feel like it's worthwhile to work hard. So he's kind of touching on it, and he said, we have to be honest about it. I don't want to be inflammatory. But unless people get the message that the SPD has understood the problem, then I don't know whether or not voters will respond to the SPD's message on that.
Yeah, and I just want to play that one soundbite of frustration by co-leader of the SPD, Lars Klingbeil.
How can it be that 60% of people say that we are the party of welfare recipients?
Actually, Marcel Fratscher, I want to throw that to you. How can that be? What's your assessment there?
Yeah, well, it's still old beliefs that are no longer true. And of course, this is not a sudden shift that we have seen over the past 4 years, but a process we've seen over the past 25 years. I wouldn't overemphasize the distinction between workers and not workers, because if you look at who's voting for the AfD, it's generally people with lower education level, with lower income. It's more in rural areas, structurally weak areas. It's more younger people, mm-hmm. also very important, and it's more men than women. And if you look on the other side, who's voting for the Social Democrats and the Conservatives at the federal election last year, it's mostly older people above the age of 55. So that explains a lot why the Social Democrats are so hesitant to cut pension and healthcare contributions or benefits, and the Conservatives to raise taxes. So what I'm saying is this shift has been going on for a long time. The AfD has a very clear focus in more the rural areas and people with lower education who are more concerned about their jobs. So the fear of AfD voters is understandable and is justified. Let me make one more point, because that's what I've been doing research on. The irony is, I call it the AfD paradox. If you look at what the AfD wants in terms of policy, it would hurt its own voters more than anyone else, because the AfD stands for an extreme libertarian policy. It wants to cut the taxes, it wants to cut government, it wants to cut social security contributions and help for people with lower income. So those voting for the AfD would pay the highest price for AfD policy. But so this has been a process going on for a long time. And yes, I think the Social Democrats haven't come to terms with the fact that they are no longer and have for long not been the party of workers and the working class.
Well, two interesting things happened in those regional elections in Baden-Württemberg and Rhineland-Palatinate. And that's that the AfD almost or more than doubled its share of votes near the 20% mark. That was previously seen as something that pretty much only happens in those eastern states, which are more alternative for Germany friendly. So that's a paradigm shift. And we heard Friedrich Merz describe time and time again that the real political standoff here in Germany is between the conservative CDU and the AfD. So I want to take that to you, because you were in the room during that speech yesterday. How much is your impression that the Social Democrats are now taking on the challenge, because this is a new analysis, that the AfD is now framing itself as the Workers' Party, in their direct challenge for voters with the AfD?
Again, Lars Klingbeil, you know, he's the co-chair. I think he is taking that on, to the short answer. He has understood that, and the quotes we just heard are very clear. You know, how can that be? So he's not trying to mince words. He's taken on that challenge. Bärbel Bass, his co-chair, again, more farther left position, did also kind of use those words on Monday. The question really is, and I cannot emphasize that enough, is, okay, that's the analysis. What are the conclusions? What does it mean for what are we going to do? Because those are very different things. You can have the same analysis of the situation, saying, okay, this people don't accept us anymore as the working class party and everything, but then you can draw very different conclusions from that. And I suspect that's exactly what's going to happen, that a significant part of the party will say it means we have to go left, and another part of the party will say, no, we have to go to the center. And then you have that problem that the SPD itself is blocking itself. It's blocking the coalition government, and it will make reforms harder. This is a scenario. Maybe it won't happen that way, but it could. SPD, to put it into historical perspective, is a party that in the past was very capable of reforms. We mentioned what is called the Agenda 2010 by then SPD Chancellor Gerhard Schröder, who, by the way, is saying things again these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
who's back in the mix somehow, but that's a different topic. So very capable of reform. Some experts even argue and say Angela Merkel from the CDU really profited from those reforms that Gerhard Schröder enacted before her, right? So those were forceful reforms, but the left part of the SPD is still reeling from that, because they still think it was a mistake. while the more right-leaning or center-leaning part of the SPD thinks it was a good thing, and a large part of the Republic also, I haven't seen any recent polls, probably thought this was a good thing and really saved Germany from very similar discussions back then, saving the industrial base, not just going into the direction of the digital bubble back then. You can't really compare it completely, but what I'm trying to say is if the SPD can harness the potential for reform, that still is there. They might be successful, from my perspective. If they go into these infights, then it's going to be really hard.
Hi, I'm Kate Laycock, host of DW's weekly European current affairs programme, Inside Europe. Our correspondents were there when the Berlin Wall fell, when the Balkans Wars broke out, and when Britain voted to leave the European Union. Now the continent is changing again, and we're rising to the challenge, bringing you a combination of expert analysis and on-the-ground reporting. Join us every Thursday.
Marcel Fratsch says some 120,000 industrial jobs were lost here in Germany over the past year alone. That's also part of your own analysis. How much do you expect that economic facts and let's just also factor in the energy price hikes, the Iran war, which is not responsible for everything, but your own prediction that there could be 1% growth, you now had to correct downwards because of all of these moving parts and these risk factors. How much do you expect the economic facts being created to actually dictate the political agenda now?
It will put a lot of pressure, a lot more pressure on the government to implement reform. And the best example is the budget, the federal budget. The German government, and in particular Lars Klingbeil as the finance minister, have to plug a hole of about 30 to 35 billion, 0.7%, 0.8% of GDP in the federal budget for next year. Now, the hope was if you have high growth, tax revenues will flow, it will be easier for the government to deal with that. And with lower growth, there will be lower tax revenues. The pressure is rising for the government to hand out subsidies or additional subsidies to energy intensive industry or to drivers who drive a car to bring down petrol prices. So to make long story short, there is this huge gap in the federal budget and there won't be any way around than either raising taxes or cutting spending or both. So this will force the current government to do some reforms. I doubt that this will be really enough, that this will really be long-term and a structural change. But the government realizes the hope higher economic growth would help them with a budget, would make them more popular, would give them more popular support, those hopes won't be realized. And so, yes, I think the current situation will put additional pressure on the government. It will make it more difficult. And maybe that's a good thing that the government can no longer muddle through, but really has to face the reality.
And the man who has to come up with those draft budgets is none other than SPD co-leader, finance minister and vice chancellor Lars Klingbeil. So
there's a lot riding on his shoulders.
There is a lot right, and also in terms of convincing the party base, because we just worked out his co-leader is Bärbel Baas. She's more left-leaning. She said that the party would be up for reform, but can they rely on the grassroots?
Hard to say at this point. This is something we're probably going to see Friday. So from our perspective, while we're recording this tomorrow, there's going to be sort of a mini gathering of all the most important people in the party, even including some SPD mayors that are successful in certain cities in Germany. And I think we'll have more of an idea what is possible and what is not possible. Lars Klingbeil is clearly going ahead here and trying to pull his people along. He's not very popular in the party. You have to say that. The numbers speak for themselves. He got elected as co-chair of the party with what is considered to be a bad result. Last year that was, right?
Yeah.
2025. And so if he says something like he did during that speech, it's not at all a given that the base and the grassroots will follow.
Is it to what extent is it kind of, does he have to sacrifice his own political career to push through some really difficult reforms in the bid to save the party in the long term? or even to save the country. You know, because ultimately, they're not going to be popular with the base if he gets them through. And that's the risk. But as you say, you know, if you've triangulating and doing this kind of third way thing, splitting between the right and the centre and the centre left of your party or the left of your party for years, where you have no profile anymore, someone at some point has to kind of do a Gerhard Schröder and push through some tough reforms, even if it means that the people that are applauding you at the end are the conservatives.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, I do agree. The support for Gerhard Schröder at the time was much larger, obviously, and he was a very different person, although Lars Klingbeil used to work for Gerhard Schröder, so there was a connection there, but they're two very different people, excuse me. There's one point, though, I would like, because we're talking about Schröder, Klingbeil, and how he can really get people to follow him, I would like to mention that we haven't talked about, and that is the appeal of personality. Right? I think that plays a much larger role nowadays. And my theory, my thesis here is, and maybe we can discuss it, I don't know, is if the SPD had someone who really would appeal to the people, who could really grab them by the hearts, really get emotionally to them, which is doesn't seem to be the case right now, things could turn around really quickly. Because if there is one lesson, for example, from the state election in Baden-Württemberg, or even the communal elections in Bavaria that also took place, where a green, 35-year-old green, also a gay man, won, which is a huge surprise, shows that if you have the right person running for that office, that is much more important than the party affiliation, especially among young people. So things could also turn around quicker than you'd think, because it maybe the affiliation to a certain party seems to be less important than in the past, and the actual person, the personality, is more important. Maybe that's something he's trying to do here, Lars Klingbeil, just show himself what he really stands for. Nothing to lose, go for it. That might resonate. You never know.
Also, the point to mention that the Social Democrats do happen to have the most popular politician in Germany, which is Boris Pistorius, the defense minister, who has declined time and time again to take that top position. But it would be very interesting to observe whether the SPD descends into a political personnel fight, which they insist adamantly they do not want to do because they do see the risks. Matt, I just want to close with, what's your assessment of how much of a booster this will continue to be for the AfD?
Yeah, I think Marcel talked about it when he mentioned the young vote. But if you look at their strength, it's really strong under 50s. Now, the reason that doesn't translate to huge election results in places like the West is because, as we heard, the older vote, the voter demographic over 60 is 40% of the vote, the people who vote overall. So there's more people over 60 who are voting. But if you look at the number of people who vote for the AfD between 18 and 50, it's really strong. In some cases, they're the most popular party. I saw one poll, a national poll, where it looked at the voting, how people would vote on Sunday if there was an election, and the AfD came first for all the age groups up until 50. And so I think for the AfD, they're thinking, great, we've built a base. We're in the East, we're really strong. These elections in the West show that we're getting stronger. But also the future, when people are asked who has the answers to the future, they say the AfD in Rhineland-Palatinate in the polls there. So there's a sense there, the message is working. For them, what would be a problem is if the economy starts to pick up this year, or if the government does, in a way, successfully push through reforms, because it will show that they're capable of action, which is contra to the message of the AfD, which is this government isn't capable of action, and that's why there needs to be a conservative AfD government. So the SPD is the problem. And so as long as there's a fight there, that benefits the AfD.
The SPD being the problem, that's also the assessment of Gerhard Schröder himself. A colleague from Süddeutsche Zeitung went to do an interview with him, and he himself said that something like that would be necessary again. And Marcel Fratsch, I just want to throw that once more to you and conclude with that. What is your assessment? Do you expect something like that to be drafted? And is that what you are recommending?
I'm convinced all three governing parties have to get rid of their red lines. This is true for the Social Democrats on social security, on pension, on industrial policy, but it's also true for the Conservatives when it comes to taxation. to European reform, to the labor market. So they have to find common ground and they have to have a big reform agenda. And for me, there are three big reforms that are crucial. First, reform of social security. People need to work longer. We need to have a more efficient welfare state. Second, big tax reform that lowers taxation for people with low and middle income and with and companies. And third, and in my view, the most important is reform of Europe. We tend to forget in Germany. We look at, we are in our bubble and we forget that in these times, with the war in the Ukraine, with what's happening in the United States and in China and the Middle East, our best chance for recovery, for economic transformation, and to protect our own interests in the long term is a strong Europe. And that's where I'm disappointed by both parties, who really have been focusing on the national agenda. So for me, these are the three big reforms that need to be done this year. And I tend to be an optimist, so I give it a chance that the government has understood, that Friedrich Merz has understood, that Lars Klingbeil has understood that, and that they will try to find a consensus.
And we will for sure keep a very close eye on whether they have the economic clout both within their parties and beyond to do exactly that. On the key issues of reform, we are awaiting expert recommendations, and that will begin with health here in Germany. But what you just said is certainly calling for more episodes of Berlin Briefing. So those are sure to follow over the coming weeks and months. For today, you are fully briefed up, and I would like to thank Marcel Fratscher, Max Hofmann and Matt Moore for your analysis. Do keep following us. Do throw us some comments below what you would like to see more episodes on, and we'll also add some of our output, our analysis this week on the topics that we touched. For now, thank you so much for watching and listening.